Thank you for tuning in to the JBV Radio Show. We welcome you to our special guest audio series. So grab your pen.
Your pen.
Everything you need. We pray that you hear a word from the Lord that will change your life. Today, our guest audio teacher is Apostle Corey Thompson.
I want to summon your senses and invite your intellect into the book of John, John chapter number 4. And tonight, two verses that we're going to look at, and then we're going to walk through a couple of more scriptures tonight to tie this all in together so that we have clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and understand wholeheartedly the will of our Father for the next few moments that we spend together. John chapter number 4, I want to raise two passages, two verses of scripture out of that. John 4, beginning with verse number 23, the word of the Lord, the people of the Lord. It reads, "But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such people to worship him." Verse 24 says, "God is spirit, and they that worship him," we understand this, "must worship him," how? You got it, "in spirit and truth." God is spirit. Notice the translation didn't say a spirit. It says God is spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. In spirit and truth. "But the hour cometh and is now here, where the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such people to worship him." God is spirit. Those that worship him must, it's imperative, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Listen, I want to raise tonight, as we continue in our series, the capacity for favor, and just by show of thumbs up or just put a 7 in the comment section if you've been blessed by this series, Capacity for Favor. If you have been blessed by this, just put a number 7 in the comment section. But we've been talking about in this series the capacity of favor, and last week we talked about how worship connects you to the supernatural, or to supernatural favor. Well, tonight we're going into part 2 of that, how worship connects you to supernatural favor. Okay, we're going into that tonight. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. And so we've been talking over the past couple of weeks. We've been sharing out of the book of Beginnings how he showed us, if you will, how it in the beginning this all starts. It all plays out in the beginning. How it is that God creates man in his image and in his likeness, and then breathes into him the Ruach, the creative breath of God. Man becomes a living soul. We see that matriculate as they go, as we go from chapter to chapter. We see the progression now that man becomes a living soul, and that we understand that Adam met with God in the cool of the day every day. He met with God. Cool of the day. Adam met with God. He communed with God. That experience was an exchange. It was an exchange between God the Creator and Adam, or Adam, man. And we understand in that exchange was a worship experience for Adam. It was a worshiping experience. It was a time of communion. It was a time of great exchange, because it is clear that as long as we see in the Bible, it is clear that as we see Adam do this, as the scripture says, we don't see them having any issues. We don't see there to be any problems. We don't even see them lacking anything. It's not until, beloved, we see that in the third chapter, where Adam is missing from communion, or missing from communing with God, missing from that appointed time, that set time of worship, where it is that we see he and Eve in the third chapter, verse number 8, where the Bible declares that, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees in the garden. So the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, son, Adam was missing from the presence. Adam was not present for the presence. He was not present for God's presence. Hence, he then, in that instance, watch this, lost soteria. He lost the kingdom. He lost dominion. He lost complete soteria. Complete soteria is nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. That utterly changed, because now they are in need. Please understand, the Bible says they didn't know they were naked until he sinned against God, until he did what God forbade him to do. And then it is that the Bible says they are now hiding themselves with fig leaves. So in other words, what they did now, they missed worship. He missed worship and lost the kingdom, missed worship and lost his right to rule, missed worship and lost the scepter, missed worship and lost out on dominion. Because they were both given dominion by God, as he told them to be fruitful and multiply. God gave Adam and Eve dominion in the earth. They lost their right to rule well in the garden, or to rule well in the stead of God. God being illegal in the earth realm, he has to have a body to be legal, because to be legal in the earth, it requires a body. Adam was the body that God created, breathed into him spirit, or breathed into him life, the Ruach of God. Adam became a living soul. Adam then was to commune with God in the cool of the day, and in that exchange, he lacked no thing. I need you to understand that. He lacked no thing. Not until he was absent from the presence of God that he no longer has the right to rule. And so then when we look at this, it is imperative for us to understand that while it is that God, the Father, the Bible says, seeketh such that will worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible is clear. It says the hour is coming, and now it is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him, or seeketh such people to worship him. So then it would behoove us to become what he's seeking after. Oftentimes, we're encouraged in scripture to seek God. As a matter of fact, Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Well, when do you become what it is that God, and who it is that God is seeking after? I want to raise that question tonight. Are you what he's after? Are you whom he's seeking? Are you whom the Father is after? I want to talk tonight as we matriculate and we go further into this series, The Capacity for Favor, because if you have been hearing this, or in tune with what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church in this hour, you can't help but understand what it is that, as God spoke out of First Chronicles chapter number 12, around the 32nd verse, it talked about the children of Issachar, and you will see the anointing, or the Issachar anointing there, where the Bible says, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had an understanding of the times in which they lived, to know what Israel ought to do, as the Bible says. It says the heads of them were about 200. And all their brethren were at their commandment. In other words, they were sought after because, watch this, they had an understanding of the times which they were living. They were ready to give an answer. And so when the questions arose as to what they should be doing, they had an answer. Why? Because they spent the necessary time, or the required time, or the set time with God the Father. So they lacked Watch this. Nothing. They were not without what to do because they got in the face of God. They worshiped. They sought the Lord through intercession, prayer and intercession. They sought the face of God. They sought the will of God. They sought after him. And listen, and then God would grant unto them what was needed or the direction in which they needed to go or the answer he gave or provided for those who were in question. It came as a result of being in communion with God or in fellowship. As we talked about last week, there was one Greek word. When we look at worship, it's one Greek word that comes to mind. We told you it was proskuneo. It literally means to fall down before God or to bow in worship. It is worship then is a state or an attitude of spirit. Don't miss that. So if God is spirit, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Then worship, beloved, is a state, an attitude of the spirit. Please hear this. Since it's an internal individual action, it should be done most of the time, or all of the time in our lives, regardless of place or regardless of situation. How do you say that? How can you say that? Because when we look in John chapter number 4, just a few verses prior, Jesus speaks to a woman. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." Okay? It says, therefore, Christians, in other words, we should begin to worship God at all times. David was one that says, "I would bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." Are you with me tonight? Are you hearing this tonight? Are you hearing this tonight? Any witnesses out there, this bank bearing witness with any of you tonight? And so it is that when we look in at the particular passage of scripture where it is that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth, I'm going to show you tonight how worship is a key. How worship unto God is a key. Worship is connected to supernatural favor. Let me say it this way. Worship unto God is connected to supernatural favor, or it releases, please hear this. Oh God, supernatural. How can you say that, Apostle? I can read my Bible. As long as Adam stayed in the presence of God, as long as Adam kept the appointed time or the time of communion or the time of exchange or the time of proskuneo, the time of worship unto God, he had complete soteria. There was nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking, not only in his life, but his wife's life, in his family's life. There was nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Are you hearing this? The two of them lacked nothing, but they kept. Watch this. At that time, they kept the appointment or the appointed time where they sought after God in the cool of the day. God sought them. God met with Adam in the cool of the day. Worship, my God, unto God in the cool of the day. Proskuneo. I told you 2 weeks ago that when we worship God, watch this. It's like therapy, where we get there is a Hebrew word called therapeuo, where it like is becomes where we get the English word therapy. It becomes therapeutic to the body, not just the natural body, but the body of Christ. When you become present, when you show up for worship unto God in spirit and in truth, it's like therapy in the body. God help me. God help me. Oh, God, help me tonight to convey this as I hear you say it. Listen, it becomes like therapy in the body. Let's go forward because I'm going to show you how worship is a key. Listen, even in the congregation's participants need to be aware that they are worshiping God fully on an individual basis. It's bringing your heart to the altar of God. Even though we're doing this when we come corporately, it is still that we are individually bringing our heart to the altar of God. But in a corporate setting, because God is always concerned about the corporate man. Please hear this. He's concerned about the corporate man. He loves you. And he's also concerned about the corporate man, the body of Christ at large. So the nature, beloved, of a Christian worship is from the inside out. It has two equally important parts. We must worship in spirit and in truth. Okay. Worshiping in spirit has nothing to do with our physical posture. Please hear that. It has to do with our innermost being, and requires several things. First of all, we must be born again. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Without the Holy Spirit residing within us, we cannot respond to God in worship because we do not know him. Are you hearing this? No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Reveal it. Please hear this. That's according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 11, the B clause of that verse. The Holy Spirit within us is the one who energizes worship because he is in essence glorifying himself. And all true worship glorifies God. Did you hear what I just said? I said all true worship glorifies God, not entertainment. I said all true worship glorifies God. It does not bring attention to oneself. I said all true worship glorifies God, not the flesh. Not the flesh, but true worship brings God glory. Hence why were we created? We were created to worship him. In essence, that word worship is connected to giving God glory or to bringing glory to God. Second, we must understand worshiping in spirit requires a mind that is centered on God by renewed truth. Are you taking good notes tonight? I said, secondly, worship in spirit requires a mind that is centered on God and renewed by truth. Are you hearing this tonight? I'm going to say it one more time. Secondly, worshiping in spirit requires a mind centered on God and renewed by truth. Paul exhorts us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That is which is spiritual worship, in other words. What's your posture? You can be present, but if you're not in the correct posture, you still can miss God's presence. Don't miss that part. We cannot be conformed to this world. Wrong posture, wrong placement. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it is then only when our minds are changed from being centered on worldly things to being centered on God can we worship in spirit. Are you hearing this? So then distractions of many kinds can flood our minds as we try to praise and glorify God, hindering to worship. God help. God help. God help. God help. Are you hearing this tonight? Are you seeing this tonight? Is this resonating with your spirit tonight? And so I need you to understand that worship under God, true worship under God, is a key. And I want to talk to you tonight as we matriculate a little further into this so that you understand wholeheartedly what it is God is saying. Listen, I want you to see Isaiah chapter number 22, verse number 22. I'm going to show you how worship is connected to supernatural favor. I'm going to show you how worship is a key. I'm going to show you. Everybody good? Are you hearing me tonight? Go to Isaiah chapter number 22, verse number 22. I need you to see this. I need you to see this. No, this is what worship will do. This is what worship will do. The Bible says, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And he, watch this, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, he shall shut and no one shall open. Watch this. Revelations 3 and 7 says this. Go there real quickly. Revelations 3 and 7. It says, And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Did you catch that? Watch this. We're not done. Watch this. One more verse. Matthew 16 and 19. Go get it real quick. Matthew 16 and 19 says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Does that have to do with anything? Apostle Thompson, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're asking, because if worship was not worship was not important, it would not be why it is that we exist. Worship under God is the very reason why you and I were created. We were created that we would worship God. How important is worship in the life of the believer? It is extremely important. Extremely important. Now watch this. All through Scripture, you will see this. If we look in Luke chapter number 4, Jesus comes out of his baptismal experience. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. And so here it is that now, while he is in the wilderness being tempted of the devil, all the devil is after is for him to bow, is for Jesus to bow and worship him. The devil is after worship. But the Bible says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What was missing in the garden? There was no truth in Satan's approach to Eve, Lucifer's approach to Eve, the spirit, the serpent's approach to Eve. Watch this. He used partial truth, but then he laces it with a lie, with an ultimatum, with an ulterior motive, getting them to literally forsake truth and believe a lie. So the Father seeketh such that will worship him in spirit and in truth. True worship unto God does not consist of a lie. So how important is worship, and why is worship a key in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God? It is such a key because the Bible is very clear. When Jesus comes to the earth realm, the Bible says he comes through 42 generations, the Messiah. He comes through the lineage, the house of David, the lineage of King David, the lineage of David. David, the son of Jesse. Jesse, the son of Obed. Who is Obed? Obed is Jesse's father. Obed is David's grandfather. Obed's name literally means worshiper. God, I need you to hear this tonight. I need you to see this tonight. I need you to hear this. Obed's name literally means worshiper. He was the son of Boaz and Ruth, and he was the father of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. He is an ancestor of Jesus Christ. You hear this? Jesus comes through that genealogy and the Bible. Listen, he comes through the lineage of worshipers. Woo, God help me. The Bible is clear. The Bible is clear. I said the Bible is clear. The Bible is true. And the Bible is clear and it is true. Jesus comes through the lineage of worshipers. David was a worshiping king. Jesus comes, comes through the lineage of David. I told you when we looked in at Revelations 3 and 7, we see the key of David being given. What is the key of David, and how is it related and associated with the throne? He says, I'm going to give you the key of David. Are you hearing this? He says, the angel, I'm going to put it back up so you can see it. The angel, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and he that shutteth. Watch this. And shutteth and no man openeth. Okay. No man openeth. So then watch this. What do keys represent? And what is the purpose for keys? Keys represent authority. Please understand. Keys unlock things. Keys unlock doors. In other words, keys unlock, or they open and then they shut. One translation, when we look at the word key in the Hebrew, the word key is literally an opening instrument, or it literally means to open. But in the Greek, the word key means to shut. Okay, so we just saw in Revelation 3:7, and the angel of the church of Philadelphia writes these things, saith, he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth that no man can shut, and he that shutteth that no man can openeth. Keys in the Hebrew means to open. In the Greek, it means to shut. Oh, God, how is worship a key? I'm glad you are saying that, because worship, true worship under God, opens, oh God, help me here, it opens up an atmosphere, watch this, to be conducive, watch this, to the supernatural. I'm going to say it again. True worship unto God will open the atmosphere to be conducive to the supernatural. I'm going to tell you again. True worship unto God opens the atmosphere to be conducive to the supernatural. Adam, in the cool of the day, met with God, had proskuneo, he worshiped before God. And then the Bible is clear that Adam had complete soteria, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. He missed worship, lost the kingdom. Now he's in need. He's no longer in access. So then I need you to type these three words: authority, power, access. Authority, power, access. Authority, power, access. Worship, true worship under God. Watch this. When we apply this accurately, it becomes a key. Worship is like a key. What unlocks atmosphere, causing it to be conducive for the supernatural. God is saying in this hour, he's going to give you access. Please hear this. He's going to open doors as you, oh God, help me here, as you intensify in true worship unto God. Hear me by the Spirit of grace tonight, because it is that true worship unto God opens, please hear this, opens, causes the atmosphere to be opened, could be conducive to the supernatural. I'm telling you in this hour, I'm telling you in this hour, in this season, double supernatural, uncommon favor. I'm telling you, you can't afford not to turn the volume up on your worship. You can't afford to be absent from God's presence. You cannot afford, please hear this, because listen to me, the access on the supernatural is connected to your worship under God. I'm going to say that again. True worship under God will shift atmospheres. I don't care what was in the atmosphere prior to the release of true worship, but when true worship under God is released in any atmosphere, it causes shifts to occur. It causes the things to be open and sensitive to the move of God. Please, please, please hear this. Please hear this. God responds to worship. He responds to true worship, that is in spirit and in truth. God responds. God responds to. Why? Because true worship under God will always promote his will, promote his word. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Thank you for tuning in to the JBV Radio Show. For more information about us, tap or click shondocenter.org. That's www.shondocenter.org. If you'd like to reach out to us, leave a comment for prayer,
or just to let us know how we're doing,
email us at jbvpositiveradio@gmail.com. That's JBV Positive Radio @gmail.com. www.thelettusknow.com. We thank you again so much for tuning in. And remember, love isn't love until you give it away. God bless you.